I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to My Favourite Takeaway, the show for people who love food but can't always be bothered to cook it. I am, as always, as I have been since series one, Tom Crane. And the person opposite me is the same man he's always been, and I'm delighted about that. He's a great man. It's Simran Shah.
Thanks, Tom. I'm actually on your side rather than opposite.
That was spooning. It's a recording.
Big Spoon?
Let's knuckle down into that. Who would be Big Spoon? Who'd be Small Spoon?
I actually think I would be Big Spoon, yeah. Holding on to you with the neediness of a small spoon.
I like that. Welcome to the show. Simran, as always, we've had brilliant messages from our fantastic listeners, haven't we? Emails, Instagram messages, tweets, no actual letters, but we have had those three, and one of them has caught your eye.
Got an email from Dan O'Dell, who said, "Hi, Tom and Sim. I need to know whether it is me that is wrong." The first sentence.
Immediately my favourite first sentence to an email we've ever received.
He said, "I'm in a band and we quite regularly order takeout while we're at rehearsal. Mackey's is a regular go-to. However, my three bandmates order something that I find incredibly strange. As with most McDonald's orders, we tend to buy burgers, fries, drinks. All three of my bandmates choose to eat all of their fries followed by their burger. Or order their burger first and then order their fries." So,
right.
From Dan's point of view, this is weird because he said, surely the right thing is to eat a burger, have a few fries, back for a burger, back for more fries, little bite, is swapping, right? Go from one to the other. So Dan wants to know, am I the weird one? In other words, is it me that is wrong?
That is such a good email and such a good question. That's really interesting. Like, even when you were talking about that, I was sort of doing a bit of a mime to work out how I eat. What would I do? I'd start with a third of my chips. Let's really get down into the maths of this, okay? A third of my chips. Then I'd move on to the burger. I'd have two bites of the burger and then have another third of my chips. Then I'd probably finish the burger and end with the chips if I've still got room. That's my technique. Dipping along the way, dipping the burger and the chips. Everything's getting dipped. What about you, Sid?
I'm the same. And I'll tell you what happens, though. One casualty of this approach, and the casualty lies inside the dip, because if you're enthusiastically dipping your fries into the dip, sometimes a loose fry stays in the dip whilst the rest of them go in your mouth.
So like now you've got a jacuzzi.
Yeah, so you've now got one or two fries floating in your ketchup, and then when you're dipping the burger in to the ketchup, you're not getting as much because the fries is in there. And the more you do that, the more you pile your condiment with the chips, which is what you don't want to do. So that's
with a potato lattice.
Yeah, that's I think
prevent
that,
you from getting to the dip.
That's one pretty niche consequence of that approach.
No, but I do get that. Another thing that comes to mind in this, which is actually something that comes up in this episode today, our brilliant guest, Lauren Layfield, she talks about saving the best final bite she can when she's eating a meal. If you're eating a burger and fries, Simran, what is the final bite there? What is your final bite?
Well, the
is it burger? Is it fries? Or are you sticking the tongue in a dip and just enjoying pure ketchup?
I think my final most satisfying mouthful will have to be from the burger, not the fries. Yeah. But it could be from the little bits of fries that I left over at the bottom of the packet that I scoop into my mouth like I would with crisps.
Oh, really? You don't do that. You'll tap the end of a McDonald's bag and tip it into your mouth.
Not the whole bag. Not the whole
okay,
bag.
Okay, right. Okay.
Actually, do I do that?
Wait a minute. I just realised this is one of the great pleasures in life. is finishing in McDonald's or any burger and chips. You think you're finished. You go to chuck away your bag. You look in the outer brown bag.
Yes.
Come in. And there's three or four errant fries that have snuck away in there. What a feeling.
What a treat.
What better than that? Possibly having children, maybe skydiving. But apart from those two. So I'm quite interested about this. So let's find out. Is Dan O'Dell, our kind listener who's emailed the show, alone in this? How do you eat your burger and fries? Are you going from one to the other? Are you eating all the fries and then just the burger? Are you having the burger and then the fries? Or is there some insane approach that we haven't even considered? You could email the show on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com, or you can follow us on Instagram, which is myfavoritetakeawaypodcast, and DM us there. And today, we have a brilliant guest who gets into the nitty-gritty of all these sort of things. Who is it this week, Sim?
This week, our wonderful guest is Lauren Layfield, a Capital Radio DJ who you can hear on an early breakfast show between 4 to 6 a.m. every weekday. She has to get up at about 2 a.m. to get to that. That's a pretty tough shift. And her debut young adult book, Indie Ray, is totally faking it. It's actually out at the end of this month.
I love this chat. Lauren's a real laugh and properly got into the spirit of the show. And I think if you're a regular listener, you will absolutely love this record.
Lauren, thank you so much for joining us. I actually can see a cat in the background, which I didn't notice before.
You'd think it was a cat, but it's actually a dog.
It's normally about 10 minutes before someone makes a huge mistake like that in a podcast, but Simran's opening line is mistaken a cat for a dog. That's amazing.
It's a really good start, Simran, really good. This is lucky. She heard that there was going to be food involved, so she was straight up here, but she heard the chicken arriving.
Can I just say that now that your dog has faced the camera, it is quite obviously and identifiably a dog.
So don't try and backtrack. It's too late. The damage is done, mate.
The damage is done. Lauren, you've also got not just a dog next to you, but a takeaway, haven't you? What did you buy?
I'll be honest, boys. It was a really hard choice. I actually got out my Deliveroo app and sort of went through all of the cuisines at the top there because I thought, choose wisely. You know, you've got an opportunity here to get it for free.
Before you tell us what it is, what didn't make the cut?
You know what I love now about living in a city? I've lived in lots of cities now. I've lived in Leeds, I've lived in Manchester, London, and now live in St. Albans. And I think the beauty of living in a city is the variety of choice. So you now get things like, you can have a Lebanese if you want. You can have a Mexican. Whereas when I was growing up, it was literally like fish chips or Mackey's. Those were your options, right?
For our listeners, I want them to bear in mind that Lauren had the whole world at her fingertips in terms of what she could have ordered. And what did you go for?
I went for a KFC, everybody.
Oh, I love that. Why bother going with everything else when you can get something that is just finger-licking good? You know what I mean?
Exactly. And absolutely. This is the bone of contention in my house every single weekend.
The chicken bone of contention.
The actual chicken femur of contention. We have an argument about this every single weekend, saying there is so much you could choose from. Are we really going to get a KFC again? And the answer to that is absolutely yes.
Usually, we actually ask this question towards the end, which is what's your ultimate KFC order or your ultimate McDonald's order or Domino's person? So actually, I think we should ask that question right at the top. I want you to rip open that bag and tell us what the fuck is inside it.
Oh, it's a satisfyingly huge bag as well. Look at the size of that KFC bag. It's massive.
Look at the size of that. The bargain bucket, everybody. There it is.
Oh, you've gone for the full bucket. See, I love a KFC, but I've never ordered the bucket.
Are you clinically insane? What's wrong with you?
It feels too much. Before you talk to us about this, can we just address the key question here is,
yes,
is it all right to buy food that's served in a bucket? What is the feeling about that? If you went to a nice Chinese restaurant, they say, how do you want your food served? Do you want it on a plate or in a bucket?
Bring your own bucket at a Chinese restaurant. Is it just what you prefer?
That's an idea.
BYOB. You don't need to change the sign will remain the same.
Talk about signs. I've just noticed that bucket.
Yeah.
The branding on that is so
iconic.
It's simple. It's just two red stripes and the colonel's face. That's it.
Did you see this recently, by the way, on Twitter? Everyone was saying that they've only recently discovered that that's the colonel's tie around his neck. It's not his little body.
I did think it was a tie rather than his little body. I've got to say.
I didn't think it was a tie. I thought it was maybe like a little bit of lace, a bit of, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. But I didn't think it was a tiny body.
I thought it was his little body for years.
No.
I thought it for years. I thought that's the Colonel's little body. They spent so much time on the face. They just got a bit fed up by the end and thought we'll do a little stick on it.
I'm sorry. If you were a colonel in the army and you had a tiny little body like that, you are not commanding the respect of your forces. There's no way anyone's going into war behind that man.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
This is our fourth series. That's the most insane thing anyone's said.
It was honestly, like, when it came up on Twitter, I finally went, wow, I'm not alone. There's actually thousands of people out there who thought the exact same thing, which was...
Oh, that's very funny.
A revelation, boys. It was a real revelation. And go back to the bucket, though. I think the smell of the paper and the cardboard in there only adds to the delight of a KFC. Yeah. It doesn't take away from it. It enhances. It smells great.
And what do you get in the bucket?
Well, going back to what you said earlier, Tom, it is plentiful.
Yeah.
Which is good and bad. So in mine, I've got 6 pieces of chicken.
Right.
Which I think is a good amount of chicken.
And what sort of pieces? Are they like the classic?
Should we have a look?
Are we talking drumsticks and thighs? And also,
so.
A question that we've never had on the podcast.
Mm.
What do you prefer, drumsticks or thighs?
Oh, thigh every day. If it could just be a bucket of thighs. And I'm going to be honest, I'm a big advocate of the KFC, but I do have issues with it. I think there's certain elements that could be ironed out. And I would love this opportunity on this podcast to put those concerns to KFC.
We will absolutely get to those.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know what I think is a real treat? I agree with you. Thighs over drumsticks and then a boneless thigh. Oh, that's a real treat.
That's a, yeah, but you don't get, see, there's no bone. This is full bone.
Oh, okay. Oh, I can see you peeking it.
Yeah. Okay, what we've got here is got chips on top.
The dog is encroaching.
Yeah, she needs to back off. We've got chips on top in a bag. As you can see, they're going soggy.
That is quite, that's mainly greasy, I'd say then. That's more grease than brown paper.
And that all makes it beautiful. And then inside there, I've got 1, 2, 3. Whoa, hang on a second. 1, 2, 3. Oh, wow. We've got 5 thighs, just 1 drumstick.
That's a good ratio.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
perfect.
We encourage you to eat it.
Okay.
Don't feel shy.
I'm going to go on for this little one.
Crane, do you dip your thighs into your into
yes,
gravy?
So I'm obsessed with dips. I have to have a condiment with fried chicken.
Yeah.
Gravy I love, but I also in general, you know, I'm not a fan of the supercharger one from KFC.
Both.
Is that KFC? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's the supercharger one?
I can't quite work it out. Sort of sriracha-y type thing. It's awful.
Yeah. But... here's my problem. I'm quite embarrassed about the gravy.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. The word gravy makes me feel a little bit embarrassed. Maybe it's sort of considered like a common kind of dip.
Do you whisper it when you're ordering?
Mm, yeah.
I'll get a bucket of chicken, large fries, and a gravy. And I say, what's that, madam?
Do you think it's because the gravy feels like it doesn't belong with like fried chicken and chips?
Mm-hmm.
Is it because we think in British culture, gravy basically just belongs in a Sunday roast?
I think that's exactly it. Growing up, you know, we've been fans of the Colonel for many years. Growing up, gravy was never on the order. And it was only a mate of mine a few years ago who said, have you had gravy? I said, no, that's unhinged. Can't have gravy on chips and chicken. What are you talking about? And then, oh my God, it's so good. Brandon's getting it. It's so good to the point that I've tried to recreate it at home. But as we all know, it can't be done.
The only problem with a KFC delivery with the gravy is that 70% of the time, the gravy has spilt everywhere in the box. That's my problem. That little lid is not strong enough. It doesn't stay on.
No.
It doesn't sucker on enough. And it's just constantly covered in my food when I order it.
Again, got a few issues with KFC that I think that they could address to heighten this experience even more. And I think you're right. Like a seal would be quite nice. A little seal around the outside.
I know of someone. I'm not going to name names. They're actually a famous person who orders a second gravy to just drink. Just drinks, has it as a hot chaser, like a Bovril.
I was thrilled when this arrived because this is a big boy.
Lauren, I'm not going to lie, that is disgusting.
Right, look at that. So when I get a little one, sometimes I don't dip enough and sometimes I drain the bottom of that. Now today we have got essentially an extra Horlicks on the go here, haven't we? Like that's ready to rumble, isn't it?
I tell you what though, I think gravy, KFC gravy, has about 45 minutes to an hour lifespan. I think as soon as it starts getting even a little cold, one of the elements has to be warm. And if it starts to get a little congealed, you're out.
That's a fine line between a liquid or a gel.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know, we're really on the cusp there already. And yeah, that's only been delivered 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's a race against time really to get the full to get the full flavour of the gravy.
Chug.
That's why your famous friend, whose name we have to find out later, will only chug it. Because it's because he knows it's going to go. Well, she knows it's going to go.
I wonder if it would do that thing that we talked about this on the show before, that if you've ever put sweet and sour sauce in the fridge it left overnight, the next morning it'll be, it's like a solid block.
Yeah,
it's
paste.
Like, yeah, like a paste. It's really weird.
More than a paste. You could put it on your walls. There's like sort of plaster.
You say it's that weird. It's not that weird when pure sugar and caramel is left in for longer and longer and it goes hard.
Can I ask you a quick question? Just intrigued to how you were feeling emotionally at the point you were feeding the dregs of some gravy to your dog. So how did that make you feel at that point?
There's happiness for her.
Okay, yeah.
And there's envy for me. Like every element of my body wants to have it for myself. And she knows the pot as well now. Like she knows exactly what that is. Look at that.
She is. She's looking.
Look at that.
Lovingly and adoringly at that gravy.
And this is the problem. She's my baby. So, you know, I want her to enjoy the best of life. And for me, congealed gravy is the best of life.
Well, you talk about enjoy the best of life. Where do you think out of the leading fast food takeaways you enjoy the best of chips? Because I think the KFC is probably up there. I think McDonald's are the best, personally.
Yeah, McDonald's have never messed around, have they? They've always known they've been to a good thing. I think the only time McDonald's really let themselves down is if you get it in a drive-through car park and they've not salted them properly. Yeah. That can be an issue.
Yes, that is a really good point.
Yeah.
Because you don't get a sachet of salt ever with McDonald's.
No.
You do get it with Burger King, and I think maybe you get it with KFC, but
yeah,
the arrogance of McDonald's thinking they just apply the perfect level of seasoning every time.
Well, that's just McDonald's all over, isn't it? That's just them all over. Arrogance is the word. They don't always get it right. So we had a really great McDonald's at our university town. And it was on a roundabout and it was absolute perfection. And then the one in Manchester, absolute bag of balls. So I just think...
Is bag of balls the other thing KFC does aside from the bucket? Is that right? Bucket of wings, bag of balls.
They get congealed as well sometimes.
I got a drive-through McDonald's at a service station on the M4. It was when we went off back onto the motorway. I opened it and it was... The burger was an absolute steak. Like they hadn't cared at all. And then I started thinking, they're not in a drive-through by a motorway. Do they know that as soon as people have left and are back on the motorway, they're not going to turn back? They're trapped in a one-way system. There's nothing they can do, so they don't really need to care.
I fully agree with that. I think I get my most sad if I open up a McDonald's burger and the top bun just slides right off and there's nothing sticking it to the patty.
Yeah.
You think, they've really not given a shit in that one, have they?
They've lost the passion, I'll be honest.
It needs a bit of purchase to keep it all together, doesn't it?
It's too many people complaining about the seasoning. That's the issue. So now you're getting through, that's a thigh.
I've gone for it. It's actually a bit of a wing situation now, I think. But yeah.
And what do you do with your bones?
I'm just currently dropping them aside, get them out of the way.
Okay.
And I must admit, it is a bit macabre, isn't it, a KFC? Like, you do feel sort of a little bit caveman about it, or just sort of ripping flesh off of bones and shoving it back in your mouth with your bare hands. Do you know what I mean? But
absolutely.
There's no good way to eat a KFC. If you're going to get out a knife and fork, get in the bin. That is an outrage. You just go in for it.
There is something slightly Neanderthal about taking a bone out of your mouth. And it's all Flintstones-y. You know what I mean?
And also, I want to pick that bone clean as well. I don't want to leave any remnant. Like, sometimes mow the half, you'll leave a bit of chicken on the side. What are you doing?
Pathetic. He's pathetic.
Although, to be fair to Neanderthal man, he would be eating just one chicken rather than parts of eight different chickens, which is what happens when you're... Like, at least they were... beak to foot in the way that they ate. They finished the whole thing.
Feathers on, they were going. The thing was still moving.
Just in case there aren't any Neanderthals listening, I don't want to rail down too well. We talked there about sort of your annoyances with McDonald's chips. You mentioned earlier, you think there's issues with KFC that need to be ironed out.
Well, in the bargain bucket that I've got right now, for example, we've got 6 pieces of chicken. Alongside that, we've got 4 chips, which I think is a lot of chips now.
Four packs of chips.
I think the ratio of chips to chicken is off. I think you could go less chips, more chicken. I think give us the good stuff. I think the chips are great, and certainly this would not be a KFC without the chips included. But the meal is not centered around the chips. The meal is centered around the chicken. So there's that issue.
Yeah.
I mean, they've really done a whoopsie in that you can't get a proper Pepsi. So I've ordered today a Pepsi Max over there, actually. Why are you giving me a sugar-free drink? What's the point of that? What is the point? I'm made a commitment. Do you know what I mean? There's no helping me now.
I've just realised. So, okay, so you've got your four packs of chips, mm-hmm. and you've got your multiple thighs and a drumstick. Have you got a burger in there?
Do you know what? I made an absolute boob because I didn't want to be greedy on this podcast when they said send through your order. So I kept it basic. But actually, do you know what I often do as well? I get a mini fillet. The mini fillet used to cost just 99p, a little bumper bonus, you know? It's not a full burger. You're not committing to a meal here, but you are just getting that little pop in the mouth burger at the back. And oh my God, that really just hits the spot. Bit of mayo in there. Getting lettuce if you are feeling healthy, a bit of lettuce in there. I regret that now because that would have gone down a treat.
I can feel your regret. I did the same thing, Lauren, right? So I also get a little mini fillet. But recently, I say in the past couple of months, I ordered three mini fillets and all the other stuff. I was like, why don't you just buy a chicken burger, mate? What are you doing?
What was your reasoning behind the treble, doing the triple?
Because I thought, with the chicken thighs that I was buying.
His wife
and the other
left
thing,
him, Lauren, all right? His wife left him.
I was
so
thinking,
can we just move on, please?
It's a real cry for help.
So I was buying for two, but then she didn't want to have them, so I just kept them rather than got rid of them.
Buying for two doesn't explain why you'd buy three mini ones. If anything, you buy them for two, you buy four mini ones.
Look, I'm aware I answered that question. I'm aware I answered the question you didn't ask. I'm not going to justify it. Okay. I don't need to justify it.
As someone who is naive to the world of the KFC bucket, so there's four chips. So that means how many people are supposed to be eating this?
Well, this is a thing. Like, am I, sharing it with my partner, supposed to have two packets of chips? Like, if anything, give me one large chips.
Did you ever eat too many chips so that you don't get through the rest of it?
Well, yeah. This is one of my things, just food-wise, generally. When it comes to eating, I take a lot of time over the eating process in terms of getting my ratios right. You can't have uneven ratios. A perfect meal is made up of perfect ingredients, but also getting the ratios right.
Yeah.
So I would never go to town on the chips because that would then risk ruining the good bit of the meal. And I do the same even when I'm having a roast dinner. Like when I have a roast dinner, seeing through a roast dinner, it's a bit like, you know, in like a film where you see somebody working out like a mathematical equation and there's like close-ups zooming into their face and they're full of pondering and there's maths equations whizzing across the screen and there's like sort of the image of the universe comes into shot. It's like that with me, but having a roast dinner, because I'm trying to equate working out what's the perfect last mouthful. So it's got to have the perfect amount of chicken, potato, gravy, stuffing, cauliflower cheese. And my other half says, sometimes I'll just go quiet during the meal. He's like, you're right. I'm like, yeah, I'm just working out how to make the perfect last mouthful. I will do it with every single meal to make sure I get it right. It's got to be right, else you'll ruin it. You'll ruin the experience of the meal if you don't get your proportions right.
I've just sort of one of those sort of great dinner party question. You know, people will say, what would you be your last meal on death row? What would be your perfect last mouthful?
Perfect last mouthful.
Tell us exactly what's on the fork. What are you putting on that fork?
Okay.
Great question.
And also, do you know what I'd love? You could do it with tweezers. So you're taking about the perfect amount. I'd go for chicken on the base. I'd then smush the potato on the top. I'd then smush a bit of stuffing on there as well. And then I'd kind of smush a layer of, ideally just the cauliflower cheese sauce, just a bit of cheesy sauce. And then I'd put like a little bit of gravy on the top. Ideally, the cherry on the proverbial cake would be a little bit of a, what's it called? What did you have at Christmas?
Pigs in blankets.
Pig in blanket, yeah. Pop a bit of that on top, straight in, one mouthful, self-contained. That
very
would be
nice.
It.
I'm also imagining myself being the jailer and watching you assembling that final forkful and thinking this is the most depressing thing I've ever watched in my life.
Tom, what would be yours?
Mine would be my final mouthful
would be...
Because who cares about the meals? Like, the meal is, like, excess at this point. You just want one last great taste.
Egg fried rice, crispy shredded beef, and a cyanide pill. What a final victory for me to take that back. So, Lauren, let's take you away from death row and back to, to sort of your experiences. Now, when was the first time you sort of got into takeaways? Was there a point where you allowed yourself to order things? Or is there a particular takeaway in your life that you remember as kind of a, if at all?
Well, the KFC, like I mentioned, has been long in my life because it was the kind of one that we used to have. We didn't really have takeaways when we were younger. I think the generation above us had a lot more self-control and a lot less access to the Deliveroo app.
Absolutely.
They were a rare treat. And I remember my mum was a nurse and she used to work really long hours. My mum's from Guyana and she is an awful cook. I mean, she's got better over the years.
I think she's an awful woman.
She's a terrible woman. She was a really bad cook for many, many years. She came and tried to make British food and she was just abysmal at it. So a lot of our meals consisted of things that were boiled.
You never ate Guyanese food growing up then?
We did eat Guyanese food and that's where she excelled. So that was always a real treat. So we had like Guyanese curries, Guyanese dals, as previously mentioned. We had like
amazing,
some really nice stuff. But when it came to the British stuff, she just fudged it up every single time. And also my mum would do mad things. Like she would, you know, we're having shepherd's pie tonight, but I don't have any potatoes. So instead I'm just going to bang like a Swede on top or something. Do you know what I mean? Like she would always just try and make do. And it was disgusting. And she still does that to this day. But she would come home from a long nursing shift and you'd be going, oh God, let's find out what's for tea tonight. And she'd walk home and she'd bring under her arm that bargain bucket. It was just a pivotal moment on a Friday night. You know, like things were looking up from that point on. In terms of then ordering food for yourself, it probably didn't happen until I went away to university. And you realize, oh my God, I've got a bank account. I can just buy whatever I want. I don't have to cook tonight. And I remember I went to Lincoln University and there was a great Indian and it was called Mowgli's. And we used to get probably every third night, half chicken tikka masala, half chicken korma. And we'd put it on the plate and we'd let the two colors, the bright red and the bright yellow, swim into each other. A bit like, you know, when you watch a nature documentary and you see like, the murky river meets the sea. It looked like, do you know, beautiful it was. And
like a misjudged MasterCard advert.
You a MasterCard reminded me of being hungry.
That is a crazy order, though. Tikka masala and korma.
Well, I think what's crazy about it is they're not too dissimilar, are they?
Like They're not. I can get a profile of that household very quickly based on that order. What were you mopping up your little, your parting of the Red Sea soupy dish?
So what I tend to do, I would make a sort of like a, I guess like a reverse moat around the outside with plain white rice, obviously. So the rice would kind of make a perimeter around the plate because obviously it was so soupy, as you say, you don't want it to leak off the plate. So you'd kind of make a barrier.
Hold on a sec. You've got the rice...
This is mad. This is absolutely mad.
Covering the circumference of the plate.
Yeah.
And then inside the rice is all the...
The slosh, yeah.
The slosh is at the inside.
Think about it. When you're at university, you're not eating at a table, are you? You're balancing that on your lap. So what you wanted was a nice barrier to stop it sloshing over while you're watching America's Next Top Model.
So korma, a tikka masala, and a circle of rice around
it. Circle, yeah.
Placing that rice around the plate is in itself a challenge. You're not even just dumping it on. You've got to...
No one has done this, ever.
You've got to place it quite carefully.
Yeah, but what it would do then, it would soak up the outside somewhat as well. So then you're already getting like a nice bit of action.
It's mad. But why are you not using the rice, I'm sure Simran would agree with this, as some kind of barrier between the two curries? That feels like that's where the rice should go.
Why would you want that? Why would you want it? What you want is a lovely conglurgement. You want
that's definitely not a word, but I like it.
You want a lovely conglurgement of korma and tikka running into each other. That's the sweet spot. Ah, I'll have some korma now. Ah,
yep.
I'll have some tikka now. What do I fancy now? A mouthful of both. get down the middle aisle. You know, the middle aisle, like the Aldi special aisle. That's what that was like.
You could probably hear my children screaming in the background there. I don't know if you could, but that was probably their reaction to, they can overhear you.
And if you hear very faintly, that's 1 billion people in India all screaming as well.
I'm so aware it is such a bastardization of what is a beautiful, beautiful cuisine. And I feel so bad for doing it. And like the shame that comes over you when you have to order like the korma or the chicken tikka masala in a restaurant. Oh.
We love people who have their own idiosyncratic ways of eating Indian takeaways. But this feels like it was certainly captured a time in your life. And that time is probably gone.
I've moved forward.
Present day, Lauren. Are you still doing that?
You're going to hate this, but I've never been able to find a chicken tikka masala as good as that one, because now they're always a bit too tomatoey. So now we are just straight up korma. So I've gone from basic bitch to even more basic bitch.
I can't believe you're half Guyanese.
I can't believe it either. Honestly, I can't. And this is the thing. I'm very white, like a half Guyanese person. And like, trying to tell people that I'm Guyanese, like, this is not supporting evidence, is it?
In fact, it's the opposite.
It's probably only fair, Simon, that we... Let's ask listeners to see if you are alone in that. Does anyone else have any sort of weird plate organisations? And anyone do what Lauren does? What do you think about the ring of rice and the split curries? Get in contact. Let's find out how mad this is.
I think there'll be a lot of people, you know, using things like... It's the classic Alan Partridge, isn't it? Using a sausage as a breakwater. You just keep your beans away from your eggs and stuff. I think a lot of people will have organisational elements to their food.
We will see. Now, I want to settle one quick thing. So you're in a relationship. This is something we talked about last week with our guest, Sean Walsh. My wife and I, we can't agree on takeaways, so we will order from separate takeaways, and it blew his mind.
Do you?
Yeah, okay. So maybe it is weird. Now, your reaction's making me think that actually maybe it is weird.
Tom, every single person has said that it's weird.
My wife hasn't.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, you must be really happy to sort of have that confidence in your relationship in order to sort of go your separate ways. I'm guessing a lot of people order a takeaway on like a Friday or Saturday night. It's supposed to be a thing that brings you together. And instead, you've got this real sort of wedge of separation there. So I feel like your relationship must be strong to get through that.
We do. It's worth saying, we do eat them in the same room. We know they go off into our little takeaway holes. She watches sort of Real Housewives. I'm watching the football.
Lauren, what do you think your partner would say is an irritating eating habit of yours?
He says, if you're really enjoying something, he says, quote, you're a chomper. He'll be eating nice and quietly like a little mouse, and I'll be in the corner chomping away, and he'll shoot me a look like this, chomper. And I'll be like, I didn't even hear it. Like, I've got like a deafness. I've got a deafness when the bargain bucket comes out. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what noise is coming out of me. And it's made me quite paranoid, because I also think, am I chomping just in the privacy of my own home, or do I chomp in public? And are other people going, gosh, she's cracking on, isn't she? Bloody hell, she's enjoying herself.
Do you know what? When we did our first series of the podcast and we had Phil Wang as a guest, we were eating noodles and I was sat next to Crane and I was so into the food, I sort of forgot that we were recording the podcast. Crane shot me a look.
It was disgusting.
You need to shut up for 1 second,
actually.
Ask the man a question who you invited on the podcast.
He was so much slurping. It's like slurping. Walking through a bog. It was unbelievable. Like heavy peat in medieval times. It's just gross. And at least a chomp feels dry. A chomp to me sounds like quite a sort of dry clamping sound. It's good. There's no slurp.
I tend to favour kind of like drier foods. I like, there's nothing worse than that sound, like, oh, it goes through you, doesn't it? A little slurpy noodle. Ugh.
So that would be your irritating habit or your weird habit. Do you have any guilty food pleasures? Are there weird food combos you enjoy? Things that you think other people might think are a bit strange? Is there anything weird that you enjoy?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything... Like, I've never had any, like, mad cravings for anything. I do like to have chocolate and crisps. I would like the chocolate to go in first, to leave a sort of chocolatey remnant across the mouth. And then when you put like salt and vinegar crisps in, they sort of get a little bit of a coating as they go down. That's quite enjoyable.
Well, your tikka masala korma attendee suggests you should be doing chocolate down one side of the mouth and crisps down the other side of the mouth at exactly the same time.
Yeah. Making that lovely Barclay card swamp.
I'll tell you something which is a combination which I don't like. It is chocolate and water.
Agreed.
I had that a couple of days ago. I think I had a square of dairy milk or something. And I was quite thirsty. I just had some water. I was like, oh, no thanks. This isn't working.
It sweetens the water, doesn't it? It sort of sweetens the water up.
And the texture of the chocolate, when you break it down in your mouth, doesn't go well with just plain water.
No.
It just feels, I don't quite know why it doesn't work.
So what's the perfect drink to go with chocolate then?
Milk.
A cup of tea.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, a cup of tea. Yeah.
Oh, yes. That's a really good shout.
What's yours, Tom? A pina colada?
No, I think you're right. A cup of tea is right. My dream would be it's a completely achievable dream, and it's one I've done before, a fridge-cooled Yorkie.
Oh, yeah.
Then a cup of tea. That's my dream. I hope one day I manage to achieve it.
How often do you have a fridge-cooled Yorkie in the fridge?
Well, no, I would say once every 3 months I'll have a fridge-cooled Yorkie, ideally on a hot day, and I do really enjoy that.
Would you have the Yorkie at room temp, or is that a no-go?
I will bring it home and put it in the fridge, leave it an hour and return.
What if you really want the Yorkie? What if you're like, I'm desperate for that Yorkie, I want it now?
I'll get it in the fridge and I'll eat it in the fridge. I guess in that situation, I would eat the Yorkie. But that's the answer. Okay, so you don't have weird things, but what about takeaway disasters, Sim? I mean, because this is something that always comes up on our show. When things go wrong, are there takeaway disasters you've had where it's gone wrong?
The ultimate takeaway disaster for me is if the Domino's arrives sans dip.
Oh, yes.
Shove the Domino's in the bin. Just get
absolutely
out the window. There's no actual point. Get out.
When that happens, do you ever then despondently head to the fridge to see if there's something that you could maybe dip? And then you're like, bullshit.
No, I won't eat him. No, there's no replacement. I've tried to make a dip. I've tried to make the garlic and herb dip.
How did you try to do that? What was that?
I need to... How long did it take you? That Michelin-starred chefs can't do that.
This is what I did. I got the mayo out. I swirled in some garlic granules,
and
I chugged in a mystery Italian spice. Don't know what spice it is, just an Italian spice.
That sounds like you covered your eyes and grabbed one of the Italian spices, didn't know which one it was.
Mystery spice.
Do they say mystery? What is it? Just it's Italian.
It just says Italian spice.
Okay, one of those ones, yeah.
Don't know what's in that. Could be anything.
I can tell you that is absolutely not going to work.
It's not going to work. Mix it all up, slosh it together. It tasted like shit. And I was like, that is ruined my night to the point I don't even want to eat this pizza. So now if that happens, and can I just say, if that happens, I will go back, complain to Domino's, and
absolutely,
I will wait another hour, hour and a half, and make sure that pizza comes fresh. And I will go to town with it. Like, I will go money-saving, Martin Lewis, money-saving expert, that complaining. There's no point. It's what makes Domino's a Domino's.
Have you ever had a situation when a Domino's pizza's turned up and it's even missing the dip that is supposed to slot into the top left-hand corner of the box?
Yes, yes.
I've had that before. There's a hole. You can see. You've just a gaping hole that you know you need to put a dip in. It's looking you in the eye.
It's like leaving the house without putting on your shoes, that.
Exactly, yeah.
Why have you got the Domino's fully dressed?
But do you know what else, right? Which is, if you order the big dip or an extra dip, for some reason, even though I know the pizza is going to come with a dip, when it arrives, so I've got the dip in the hole and then the extra one, I then immediately think, oh, why did you give it? I said, it's too much. I don't need the one in the hole. And I sort of get a bit annoyed with them.
No.
I don't know why I feel like that.
Because they've not sorted their ratios out.
Because they've not sorted the ratios. I don't need the big dip and the small dip, thanks. I just need the big dip.
So how many dips do you order, Simran? For one Domino's pizza, how many dips are you getting?
Well, I'm probably going to get through two of the small dips.
Yeah,
okay. And then sometimes I'll order the big dip.
Is that for a large pizza, though? Is that a large pizza, two dips?
Yeah, obviously. Who's getting a medium pizza?
Well, no, you're right. Yeah, you're right. Still thinking tactically here with, you know, the cost of it.
Who's ever buying a Domino's medium?
Yeah, I hate as well about Domino's. And I, by the way, I love Domino's. I'm not slagging them off. But
yeah,
what really
great
annoys me is that all these deals and stuff, it gets a bit much. You're looking for a deal. You're spending half an hour looking for a deal, working out.
Completely.
Well, should we get one large? Or should we get two mediums and a chicken side?
Yeah, it all becomes a bit a beautiful mind when you're trying to figure out the
yeah,
deals.
Like, a beautiful yeah. meal.
But Lauren, what is your, it's a question we ask all of our guests, which is your go-to drunken 2 a.m. meal.
Well, this is the thing, isn't it? A lot of people's drunken 2 a.m. meal would be a KFC. Now, I consider that great. So we have to get dirtier and dirtier from this point on, don't we?
Amazing.
If it's 2 a.m., we are going local kebab shop. There was a really good one near me, and it was Kebab Central. Like, it was, there were so many different ones. And you went into it, and it actually, like, the premises was lovely. But as soon as you took that bite, you were like, no, this is pure filth. This is pure dirt. And last time I had one, I was so drunk. Like, I was so drunk when I got this last one. I'd gone out, and I had to be up for work like the next day early. I was like, the only thing for it is going to be a lovely greasy kebab. But I got it home, opened it up, took one bite, and I was like, oh no, it can either go one way or the other. Yeah. And it really disagreed the last time, so I've not been back for a while, but it has been probably about a year now, so feeling ready.
It's time. Mm-hmm. It's feeling time.
I'll tell you what I find always catches me with those places is when you go past at like 11 a.m. and there's a bloke in there getting a kebab. I never know how to feel. Am I supposed to think you absolute legend, or I'm never quite sure what I feel about it. My mind doesn't work to that.
I think you should be like intervening. He's on a one-way ticket to hospital with that. Like, you can't go. You can't go before one in the afternoon, surely.
Lauren, we have one of our final questions is, now you've already ordered the KFC and you've talked Domino's. So we need to know, what is your ultimate McDonald's order?
McDonald's order.
It's your death row McDonald's order, and you can't put it all on one fork.
Step us through it in intimate detail.
Intimate detail. Yeah. Okay, intimate detail. We're going for a Big Mac.
Yep.
But when the Big Mac arrives, we are going to immediately, quickly open up the box. We're going to take off the top, take off the first burger, pulling with it the lettuce and the cheese and the sauce. We're going to remove the stupid excess middle bun, because who even wanted that in the first place?
Wow.
We're going to lob that out the window, like we did with the Domino's Frisbee. That's gone.
The neighbours are getting fed.
Yeah, the neighbours are getting fed. And then we're going to rebuild that burger as it should be, which is two pieces of bread, two burgers, all the gubbins and sauce and everything. Fantastic.
You think that improves it? Genuinely think it's better?
What have I told you about ratios? It's all about the ratios. And a Big Mac, they've fucked their ratios by adding that extra bit of bread that nobody needs. Don't need it. It's taking away from the fun of the burger. So get rid of that.
I'm following this and I'm on board.
You know, by the way, if you return five of those middle bits of a Big Mac, they give you a Big Mac. It's like those cups of festivals.
It's really good. It's really good of them. That would be my absolute dream come true, I swear to you. We're talking about our favourite takeaways. I've slagged off a lot of the establishments, but it's only because I care.
Absolutely.
It's only because I want to make it better.
Okay, so you've got a Big Mac without a middle.
Yeah, without the middle. Fries, as discussed, properly salted, please. Ideally, if there was a little sachet that I could just pop a little bit more sodium on there, that would be really nice. Full-fat Coke, as previously mentioned. Can't get a full-fat Pepsi with the KFC. At least McDonald's know what they're doing in terms of their fizzy drinks. And then we would follow it up with a molten hot apple pie. And should come on hot, because what you want is it to cool on the side whilst you have your Big Mac, and for it to still be hot by the time you get to it. Sorry, I forgot mozzarella sticks.
Oh, okay.
If they're on the menu.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Classy.
Where are you eating that meal? As a final question, where are you eating that meal?
I'd have that in the comfort of my own car. Pop the drink in the drinks holder, push your chair back, get relaxed, kick your shoes off if you're feeling fancy.
Oh, kick your shoes off.
Get comfy.
That's really nice.
Balance your ketchup somewhere. That's important.
That's a big one for us. Where do you put your ketchup?
Where do you put the ketchup?
I love that you're sitting, shoes off, in your own car, from the peace and quiet to tuck in to your Big Mac without the middle bit.
And then if you've got time on your hands, just recline afterwards, have a little post-Mackey's nap.
Exactly. On the ground to the right of the driver's window, a single piece of Big Mac bread, which nobody knows why that's there. You know why it's there.
We all know now. If you see one of those, secret. You see one of those in the Maggie's car park, you know exactly what's gone down.
Lauren, genuinely, what an absolute joy to speak to you. You are
brilliant, lovely
fun. You're such a great person, and thank you so. You've embraced this show fully, and I love that. What a legend you are.
Love it. Yeah, I love the level of detail.
Honestly, it's a great podcast. It's so good. It's one of those podcasts where I go, I can't believe we've not talked about this before. This is what we all have talked about. We love food, and we love talking about all our weird foodie habits.
You've created an image of a chicken tikka masala korma I never thought would be possible. And I tell you what, Tom, you're quite a good artist.
Yes.
Maybe you could draw it of what you think it looks like.
Whip up some artwork. I'd love to see that.
And we could put it on our social.
Oh my
and
God.
We'll tag you in it, and you can tell us if this is right.
I would absolutely love to see that. It's been many years since I've had it. It's since I was at university. So it would really take me back to those good old times.
Okay, we'll knock it together and we'll ask people their honest thoughts on that technique.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Enjoy the rest of your bucket.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You can contact the show on Twitter at @FaveTakeawayPod or Instagram on @MyFavoriteTakeawayPodcast. You can email us with your stories of takeaway, woe, gripes, your worries on hello@myfavoritetakeawaypodcast.com. That was the fantastic Lauren Layfield there. What a great, fun person she is. And I just loved how much he sort of gets into this, into the spirit of takeaway obsession. What more can you ask for from a guest? Sim, anything that sort of stuck out for you in that chat?
Yeah, mainly the fact that her dog looks like a cat. But the main thing is I am absolutely gagging for a KFC. So I think I'm going to go and have one now.
Yes. Forever, a bargain button had a reason to exist, is to help someone get over the emotional distress of not recognising a dog. Join us next week for yet more takeaway fun. Thank you so much, as always. Do spread the word. Leave us a review, ideally 5 stars, and write something nice. Please do. It really helps the show, and it'll mean that we can keep getting wonderful guests. Thank you so much for giving your time to us, and we'll see you next week.